Good morning. And I would like to thank all of you for being here this morning. And I welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm going to speak to us about our attitudes. Your attitudes, my attitude, and our attitudes. I was just going to say your attitudes, but my wife is sitting here and she'll let you know that I have an attitude myself, so it's mine also. Last week, in the Sunday morning service, our brother Mark Hill was our speaker, and one of the questions that he asked, if I remember right, is, who is God? Okay? Well, in order to try and answer that question and also talk about our attitudes, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, the 16th verse, and this will get us started down the road to answering these questions. Who is God and what do we need to do about our attitudes? 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 16th verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When it says the man of God, it means us. Not just the guy standing up here, but all of us. We've been given all of these scriptures for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And so the answers to the questions that we have facing us are here in the scriptures. Best place to start is right at the beginning. We'll start at the beginning, and by the time we're done, we'll be at the back of the book. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Don't worry. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God. He did it. He did all of it. He created the entire existence of us. Everything you see, everything you hear, everything you feel, everything you think about, he created it. Okay? I'm just going to quickly run through these things. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's verse 3. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. That's verse 5. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God created time. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Clouds, water on earth. God called the firmament heaven, and that was the evening and morning of the second day. He placed them in their place. He said, okay, now I'm going to separate the waters on the earth from the land, and he made dry land, and he called it earth, and he called the waters seas. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Okay, he made all of the plants, all of the grasses, he made everything. He made all of the animals, he made all of the stars in the sky, he made the moon and the sun for us to use. He made all of these things. He did it. He made it. If I'd have done it, it'd be a little different. Okay, it'd be a lot different. It'd be a mess. All right? But he did it. He planned it all out, and he did it just from his thoughts. And everything that he made is made his way with his design. Okay, go on down. It says, he made all of the creatures, all of the animals and all of that stuff. He made the birds in the air, the fishes in the seas. He made the animals on the land. All of those things. And then, come over to verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You were made to be in the image of God. Physically, you are his image here on earth. Okay? He's also made you to be able to become his spiritual image here on earth. Reflect his spirit. Let it shine forth. Okay? Everything that I've ever made in my life with my own two hands, I've made it the way I wanted it to be made. Whenever I built a house, put tile in someone's house, any of those things, made a RV out of a bus, I made it my way, did it my way with my own two hands, and I left my mark all over everything I ever created. You can find my fingerprints over all of it. It's there. Same way with God. He left his mark on all things. Okay? And you can see it. He tells you. He said, I did it. I left my mark. It's there. You can see it. You can go look at it, and it'll show you. Yeah? God made this. Okay? Let's go down to the second chapter of Genesis. And we're going to go verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. He needed a helper to do the one job he had left to do. Keep his one commandment. He made someone who was equal to the task. That was a woman. She wasn't below him. She wasn't above him. She was equal to the task. Okay? So now we have men and women. And they're both made in his image. And they both leave their mark on everything that they touch. And they're both supposed to be reflecting his spirituality in all things that they do. Chapter 3, verse 5. Here we go. This is the start of all of our problems right here. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Yeah, that was true, in a way. They were going to know everything they needed to know about good and evil. But they'd already been created in the image of God. And there was one little lie that Satan had told them to get him to do this. It says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That one lie. That was the beginning of all of our problems. All of the turmoil that's in your life. Every time you commit sin, knowing that it's a sin, knowing what sin is, you're listening to the lie. Okay? That's where it all started. It's not, you're not, it won't happen, no one's going to know, all of these things. You're listening to the lie. It's okay to be arrogant, it's okay to be puffed up, it's okay to be proud, it's okay to be a liar, it's okay to, whatever the sin is. The lie is always there telling you, it's okay, you're going to get away with it. It's okay, you're not that bad. It's okay, you can repent of it tomorrow. It's going to be okay. It's a lie. Okay. You're supposed to be like Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Keep all the commandments at all times. So how are you gonna be like Jesus Christ if, I mean, you know good from evil, but how are you going to be like Christ if you don't know how to follow Christ? If you don't know anything about it, what are you going to do? Well, there's a path. There's a path to follow. Turn to Psalms, the 16th chapter. I told you we wasn't going to read the whole book. We're almost to the middle now. Verse 1, this is a psalm from David. He says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." That's it. Put your trust in God. Don't put your trust in Sean. He's not God. He's not even close. It would have been a mess. Okay? Don't put your trust in yourself either, because you're related to Sean, and that puts you right back down there with him. You're not God either. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. In other words, let your light shine forth, the light of Christ that's in you, to all the people around you. Okay? Your goodness isn't good enough to make it and get you into heaven, but it can help the people around you. The only thing that's going to get you into heaven is the goodness of Jesus Christ, his love, his grace and mercy. Go down to 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel, or these books that we have. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons, the words. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. God's out in front. Sorry, wrong hand. Over here. Okay? You're always going that way. Keep him in the front. Not beside you. Definitely not behind you. But out in front. Okay? That's the start. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The path of life, eternal life. The path that leads to eternal joy. Heaven. Okay? He has set that path before you. It's there. You just have to realize what it is and recognize it for what he said it is. And then decide if you want to follow that path or not. It's your choice. I can't make you. I can't force you. That's not my job. My job is to make sure that I follow him. Your job is to make sure you follow him in all that you do. And please set a good example for the rest of us, because we really need it at all times. It's very difficult living here, especially when you're surrounded by the rest of your relatives, all of humanity, because we tend to get on each other's nerves. You know, it's hard to explain your thoughts to another individual. Mostly because we do not have the ability to control our tongue and our mind at the same time and make our thoughts come out perfect. It gets jumbled up somewhere between here and here. So when you're trying to explain why you believe what you believe and why you're doing what you're doing and what you think the scriptures say to someone else, You've got to realize that's a relative over there, and they have just as hard of a time as understanding you as you understanding them. They're no different than you. And so when you try and do this and you look at the other person, you're driving down the street and you're like, what is the matter with that person? Why are they driving like that? Why don't they drive like I do? I'm the best driver on the planet. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you I'm lying. And it is. It's, I am not the best driver on the planet. But at times, I think I am. Have you ever felt that way? Wesley, why are you looking at your mom? Okay. We all know that we have problems. We all know that we're not perfect. But why do we always expect the other person, to be better than us? Especially when we can't even explain our own thoughts and ideas to come across right. Okay? And when we can't do that, we tend to have attitudes. Bad attitudes, not good attitudes, not godly attitudes, but human, earthly attitudes with each other. When we have differences of opinions, we get upset, we get mad, we get angry, and we think, well, I know what I'm doing, and I'm right. And that person in that car is completely ignorant of the laws of traffic safety. And if I had a chance, I would let them know. So when I get close, I'm going to honk my horn. That'll show them. Yeah, that always helps. All right. God made man in his image. But he also made everything else. And just like us, he left his mark on everything else. Okay? I'm going to give you a little bit of a homework assignment. I want you, when you get done today, you have time, sit down at your computer or phone or whatever, and I want you to Google some images. Okay? Google strawberry, pineapple, pine cone, hair on the back of a man's head, a hurricane, an ocean wave curling and crashing on the beach, a thumbprint, the solar system, the seeds on a sunflower pod, the universe, and a model of your DNA. Okay? I want you to Google all of those images or think of them right now in your head, each one. When you do, you're going to see something. They all are made in a specific pattern, just like everything else on this planet. Okay? They all kind of have this spiraling growth to them. Even the hair on the back of your head spirals out from right here. It makes this thing. Okay? I think that's why our brains work the way it does. It's like a big storm, hurricane right here on the back of your head. You know, most of us are messed up in our thinking. That's the way I am. But we go on living our life on this planet. Just like hurricanes go across the planet, so do we. Okay? We all have that same pattern to us. Even the universe is laid out in the same spiral pattern as your DNA. Did you know that? It's true. Same pattern. Spirals out from the center. Your DNA does this. It's a spiral. The hair on the back of your head spirals. The seeds on a strawberry spiral up to the point, to the tip of the strawberry. Pine cones spiral. Pineapples spiral. The seeds in the sunflower pod spiral out from the center. The wave crashes on the beach in a spiral. All of the little parts of the atom, as the electrons fly around the nucleus. If you put a pen attached to it and stuck it on a piece of paper, it'd make a spiral graph. Did you know that? Yeah, it's a spiral. That's his mark, you might say. Something that he said, I made it. All you got to do is look and see, and I show you, I made it. Why do you have such a hard time believing it? You know, if you would just look around and see the stuff that I made, maybe you'd go, well, there is a God. And he is the creator. And it's true what it says in Genesis. Well, if it's true what it says in Genesis chapter 1, well, what about the rest of the books? Okay? Are you going to just believe the first chapter? Or are you going to say, well, there might be something to the rest of it? And start studying it? Trying to figure out what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, things that you can change in your life, things that you can change in your attitude, maybe. Excuse me. I knew I was going to need a drink before I was done here because there's a whole lot on this page. All right. Matthew, the 7th chapter. We just left Psalms. Now we're going to Matthew. We're doing pretty good. Chapter 7 of Matthew. Psalms, we were talking about that path of life. Half a book away, and 700 years later, Jesus Christ is there, and he's talking about chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There you go. There's the answer to the start of the path. This is it. It's a narrow little gate that you got to go through, but that's the path that's going to lead you to joy, happiness, which is what we were talking about in class. What's the reason you got married in the first place? Well, it's because I love them. And well, what did you want for them when you got married? I wanted them to be happy for forever. Okay, isn't that what we all want? Forever happiness, right? That's why you get married, because you think that other person is going to give you forever happiness. It's going to be rainbows and sunshine. Oh, my babies are going to sit in the high chair, and they're just going to coo and giggle at me all day long, and they're never going to be messy, and they're never going to scream at me and throw things across the room and be icky. Because I married that person, and it's going to be rainbows and sunshine. They're always going to bring me flowers. Did you ever bring me flowers? She gave me some wonderful children. I gave her some flowers. Okay, the path. What's the path? What's the gate? Turn to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Verse 3. This is John the Baptist, and he is saying, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Nice straight path. Don't mess it up for the other people on the path. You know, we're all on the same path together, those of us that have started on this path. Don't mess it up for the other people with your attitudes. Okay? It doesn't help them. It doesn't help you. There's no joy in it. There's definitely no sunshine and rainbows when you have attitudes with each other on the path. Doesn't help. So, don't mess it up. Make his paths straight. Nice and smooth. Okay? Quit throwing rocks out there. Chapter or verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. What is that? Well, I've told you before many times, repentance. He's looking to see if you've decided to not commit sin anymore. Have you changed the way you think about sin? That's what repentance means. It means to change your mind about sin. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to commit sin in any form. or attitude. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay? So you get baptized with water unto repentance. In other words, you're showing God by going down into the water that you've decided to not commit sin anymore. You don't want to do this anymore. And he says, good. I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire and say, good job. Here you go. Here's a gift for you. You now have the Holy Ghost. I've cleansed your body and soul with fire. It can dwell in you and guide you and keep you on the path to joy and happiness of eternity. Not your spouse, not your kids, but the Holy Ghost. Chapter 4. Jesus Christ has been baptized with water and with the Holy Ghost and fire. He came down from heaven in the form of a dove and landed on him. And he's there in the 17th verse of chapter 4 of Matthew. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change the way you look at sin, because heaven is right in front of you. It could be right in front of you in the next second, but it's in front of you. You need to change the way you look at sin. Repent. All right. Now we're going to change books here. For those of you that don't know anything about this, this is called the Book of Mormon. And if you want, I can show you in this book, or some of the other ministers in this church can show you with this book, why we have this book and why we use this book. But it takes about 2 hours. It's really fascinating, but we don't have that much time. So just listen to what it says. You can ask about it and you can decide later, but just listen. This is the third book of Nephi. It's on page 634. And real quick, the Book of Mormon is just another testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? There's nothing horrible about it. It testifies of the truth of Jesus Christ. Page 634. This is the fifth chapter of the third book of Nephi, and we're going to start at verse 34 and 35. And whoso believeth in me, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God, eternal joy. And whoso believeth not in me, and is not baptized, shall be damned. It's just the way it is. It's a choice everybody has to make. You're going to believe or you're not going to believe. He tells you in John, if you believe in me, then you're going to keep my commandments. If you don't believe in me, well, you're not going to keep my commandments and you won't make it. There's it's black or white. Verse 39. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as a little child and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. Pure in your thoughts like a little child. Pure in your soul like a little child. If you don't repent and do that, become as a little child, you can't receive any of these blessings. You can't receive eternal joy. 40. And again I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Can't be done if you don't do this. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. It's the start of the path. This is what you have to do to be on that path. Okay? Let's turn to Moroni. Chapter 7. Okay? It's on page 767. Well, actually, we're going to go 766. I'm sorry. This is Christ. He says, "And he hath said," Christ, "Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will shew unto you with power and great glory at the last day that they are true. And if they are true, hath the day of miracles ceased?" Well, they're true. And miracles haven't ceased. And you can ask almost anyone in this room if they've had miracles happen to them. And they'll tell you yes. And they'll give you their testimony of it. Whether you believe it or not is up to you. But they know it happened. They don't have to believe. They have knowledge. It's happened. It still happens. And we thank God for it. Every day we thank God for the miracles that he's given us. 48. "Wherefore, if a man have faith," do you believe? "He must needs have hope." Do you want to believe? "For without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart." Still have self-will, but be able to control yourself. Meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain if you don't have that. "For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart." Those who are able and desire to take control of their attitudes. "And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity." So you got to have this charity in order to even be able to do any of this other stuff. If you don't have charity, you're nothing in the eyes of God. You got to have hope. You got to have faith. You got to want to repent. You got to repent. You got to go down into the waters of baptism. You got to be able to want to keep and do all the things that he has said in the scriptures. So what's charity? And you, most of you know this. I'm sure all of you probably know this, except for the little kids. "Charity suffers long and is kind and envieth not." Kind suffers long. Patience and kindness. And kindness and patience every single day of your life. It's not that hard. And your life's not going to be that long compared to that eternal joy that you was wanting to have a little while ago. For foreverness is nothing compared to the life you have here on earth. You can't, it's this little bit of time that you have is so small that the patience and kindness that you have to show to other people, really, it's not that hard. And it's not going to be that long. And we start thinking about who these people are that you've been losing your patience with, and you don't really feel like being kind to them today, and you wish that you could just somehow take a big sponge hand and knock their car off the road in front of you and get them out of your way so you could get on down your road of happiness. It's not hard when you start thinking about everybody else wants the same thing. Everybody else wants this joy. Okay? And sometimes we think we're the only ones. Sometimes we think that, well, this makes sense to me. This is what I want. And this is what I want for everybody else. But nobody else seems to want it. And I'm judging them by their actions. Not by their thoughts. Because I can't read their minds. You can't read my mind and I can't read yours unless you're God or he gives you that gift of being able to read someone else's mind And it's very rare that it happens. Every once in a while, you can tell what someone's thinking and they'll tell you. That's right. But you don't know why they're doing the things they're doing because you can't read their minds. And most of the time, either they're not explaining it to you correctly, or you're not listening hard enough, or you just don't care what their thoughts are. You just care about your own thoughts and your own desires. So, suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, and is not puffed up. Do you know who the most puffed up, arrogant person, or not person, but being there ever was, is? Charity knows, she's shaking her head. Yeah, it was Satan. Okay? The highest angel in heaven, the most beautifully decorated angel of all time. You can read it, it's in the scriptures. Okay? He was beautiful to look at. And there was nobody higher than him except God himself. Okay? His head exploded. Okay? He thought he was everything that you'd ever want to be if you was an angel. All the other angels just like, woo, there goes Satan. And so, yeah, the most puffed up being ever created. And he wanted all of the adoration and all of the attention and all the honor and all the glory. He wanted to be just like God or better than God. So he thought, well, I'll get the other angels to follow me. And you know what? I'm going to get most of humanity to follow me. And I'm going to get them to do that by lying. I'll tell them whatever it takes to get them to follow me. And he does it so well. Little lies, big lies, half lies, things that you've never even heard of, he'll come up with just to get you to follow him each and every day. No one's watching you. It's okay. You're not that bad. God will forgive you for this. This is a little tiny thing. You're not really going to die from this. No one's going to leave you. No one's going to say, you know, I can't be with you or anything like that because you're sinning moment after moment after moment. No, no. People are going to flock to you because you're cool. It's all lies. And it's from this guy that thinks he's better than anyone else. Okay? He says, don't do that. There's no charity in any of that. Jesus Christ has these qualities about charity, but Satan doesn't. And when you commit sin, that's the guy you're following. Whether it's a big sin or a little bitty sin or, you know, something that you're not quite sure it's a sin or not, but it sounds like it might be, and we'll look it up later. No, a sin is a sin. And when you're sinning, you're following Satan. You don't have charity because you can't have charity in you if you're committing sin. They don't abide in the same place. Thinketh no evil and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. And you've got to have charity at all times. 52, go down to the middle of 52, it says, charity is the pure love of Christ. It endures forever. It is. It is the pure love of Jesus Christ, the love that he showed all of us by showing, saying, I love you so much, Peter, that I'm willing to die on the cross for you. Do you love me that much, Peter? And you and me and Peter, we all said, I love you that much, God. I'll never deny you. I promise I'll never deny you. I'll write it here on the table in front of us. I, Peter, and Sean, and all the rest of us, we will never deny Christ. Right? And Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me several times tonight before the rooster crows. No way. It can't be possible. I'm telling you, I'm your guy. I will be firm. I will never let you down. I will never deny you, no matter what. He did. That night, before the rooster crowed, he denied him several times. People say, hey, aren't you one of his? Nope. Never knew the guy. Didn't I see you with him in the garden? Nope, nope, nope. You must be mistaken. This is the first time I've laid my eyes on that man. But I saw you with him. You guys came out of that. No, I wasn't there. You are sadly mistaken. And there we are. He's looking at us. And he's got this sadness on him. You can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his face. And he's looking right at us. And we have denied him. After we promised that we wouldn't. But you know what? Thankfully, he still loves us enough to have died for us. Even after we've let him down. And Peter knew that at that moment. There on the cross, he's watching him die. He's like, he's doing this for me, and I denied him. I denied Christ, my Lord and Savior, my friend. He called me his friend. And I denied him. I let him down. How am I ever going to explain to him what I was thinking? I can't even explain to myself why I did what I did, why I committed this sin. How am I going to explain it to him? How am I going to make this right? What happened? After Christ was resurrected, after he had visited with the disciples several times, he comes to them while they're there on the beach. And they're having a cookout. Cooking some fish that they had caught. He comes to them, he sits down with them, and he starts having supper with them. And there's Peter and me and you, everybody, all of us standing behind Peter, hiding, hoping that God doesn't look at us. But Jesus doesn't want to talk to us because we can't figure out how to make it right what we did to him that night. And he comes up to us. Last chapter of John. And he asks us, he says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Sean, son of John, do you love me more than these? Have you kept my commandments like you promised? Have you denied me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus, you know I love you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I denied you by committing sin again. He saith unto him, well, feed my lambs. Give to them. Give them what I've given you. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Is he going to ask us again? How many times did we deny him? How many times have you denied him, or I've denied him in our lives by committing sin? And does he ask us the same question over and over again? Yes, he does. Do you love me? Keep my commandments. And when you're doing it, when you're keeping my commandments, your actions, your thoughts, how you portray yourself in front of all my other sheep is going to feed them. And it's going to feed them love and kindness and righteousness. It's going to feed them with a desire to keep his commandments and to be like Christ. That's what he's asking us to do. That's what he's asking Peter to do. Feed the sheep. Give them something to eat. You know, our attitudes are horrible things to try and control, especially anger. You know, we think that anger is a human emotion, and like all human emotions, it's, you know, it's okay to be human, right? Well, you can't be human and make it into heaven. You have to die first, okay, and be changed into something that's different than just human. Now you've become a spiritual human. So you can't have some of the humanistic traits that you used to have here on earth and be able to survive in heaven. You've got to get rid of it. And anger is the biggest one that most of us have a problem with. Well, I know what's right. I know what it says. And no one else seems to quite understand it the way I do. So I'm going to be mad at all of them. Is that going to help them? If you know what's right about any kind of question that there is out there, whatever it is, if you know how to drive better than anybody else, and you get mad at the other person, and you come up and you get right next to them and you're honking your horn at them and, you know, saying whatever it is you're going to say to them, does that make them want to be a better driver, or does that make them want to run you right off the road? Most of the time it makes them want to run you right off the road and you cause accidents. Did that help anybody? No. Okay? So one of the most difficult things we have to control is our emotions, and anger is a big one. It plays a big part in our attitude. Just because they don't know how to drive doesn't mean they're not worthy of making it into heaven, which that's the road we're all on. We're trying to get there. Just because they don't quite understand what the scriptures say the way you do, well, maybe you are not expressing your thoughts to them in a manner that they can understand it. I have watched all of you almost all of my life. I have seen you here Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday nights, and you guys amaze me at how much you're willing to put up with each other and your differences of opinion and still are willing to pray for each other. Just blows my mind that you guys are willing to do that. And it gives me hope and courage that we might make it. We just might make it if we stick together. I don't think I could make it without your help, though. So I need you to be patient with me. And if there's something that I say that you disagree with, come and talk to me. Ask me to explain my thoughts. And it might take a couple of hours. And I'm going to need you to explain yourself to me. But I'm pretty sure that when we're done, I will have done my best to help you understand why I believe the way I do. Okay? And who knows? We might come to an agreement on something, which would be really nice. And then we can put our driving problems behind us, get on down the road. All right? I love you all. I thank all of you for coming out this morning. It's not a bad path. It's a real nice path. I know that you love each other. Just remember, we're all human.